Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. 1 hour from now, Greg Cosell, NFL Meat Sandwich. I think today we're packed. It's a great college football weekend. It's a great NFL weekend. And Joy Taylor's joining me. I'm all fired up today.
It is looking like an amazing weekend, despite all the injuries that we're seeing pouring.
How long have you been in this business, Joy?
12 years.
12 years. What if the first year, as you were, go back to your first year, you made a decision that you wanted to, as you were becoming a broadcaster, those first couple years are rocky, they were
yes.
for me, you decided, while I'm doing this, I want to build my brand, I'm going to do a lot of social media, I'm going to be very active. Do you think that would have helped your broadcasting part?
No.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why Tom Brady didn't have a brand for 10 years. He was just winning Super Bowls. And Kobe Bryant didn't have a brand for 7 to 8 years. He was just Kobe Bryant. Baker Mayfield decided simultaneously as he's learning the game at the pro level, I'm going to be in 48 commercials. Look at his Twitter the last month. They're all commercials, all shot in the offseason. Joe Thomas is the best Cleveland football player in 20 years. When LeBron James left Cleveland, you can't criticize Baker. You can't question Baker. The Steinbrenners left. The Rockefellers left. You know, LeBron left. People leave Cleveland. They don't come from all over the world with that being the destination, like LA or New York or Paris or London. They leave Cleveland. And LeBron left, and Baker's the guy. So criticism will not be taken well. But Joe Thomas acknowledges the Baker he has seen early this year is concerning.
The fact that the ball's not coming out in rhythm is surprising and unsettling to me. We saw Baker patting the football, trying to push the ball down the field. The ball was not coming out on time. Even the times that some of the big plays were being made, it didn't seem like it was happening within rhythm.
Yeah, maybe it was the marriage this year, which is awesome, but there were 350 people. I've been married. That takes up a lot of time. Or the 13 commercials, or the 3 or 4 massive magazine portfolio interviews, which took multiple days. You know what Lamar Jackson did this offseason? Because I just looked at Lamar Jackson's neck and arms and body, Joy and I in the pre-show meeting. Lamar Jackson got 10 pounds bigger. There's a reason Lamar went from, I'm not sure, to, holy hell, what's that? Because he didn't get distracted this offseason. We never saw Lamar Jackson this offseason. I watch these NFL games. I see Baker Mayfield on commercials. He's not even in the game. He has 13 of them. He chose the route, which I don't believe is the route Joy and I should take. Be great. Then worry about your brand. He's not great yet. He's not, frankly, through 2 games, even good yet. Right now, Lamar Jackson's the better NFL quarterback. Winning, passer rating, touchdown quarterback interception ratio, Lamar Jackson significantly better. And Lamar Jackson didn't spend the offseason shooting 19 modeling things and having 14 articles and 19 commercials. This is why I said with Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying he didn't practice, but then you throw in the fact that OBJ missed some camp and he missed some practices. That's not ideal. And then Freddie Kitchens was right in your hip. He was your guy. And then now Freddie becomes the head coach. So Freddie's got to coach the team and he's not your valet anymore. And the fact that last year you played 7 of the worst defenses in the NFL. And this year you're playing 6 of the best pass defenses in the NFL. So the schedule's harder and the expectations are huge. And Baker's want, I'm going to build my brand while I get good. And I don't believe in this. And I said it going out. I never liked Mark Sanchez doing all the modeling stuff. Get good at football. Get good at broadcasting. Worry about your brand after you got a few, pelts. Tom Brady's first 7 years, I think he had one big commercial. It was a Visa commercial. He sat at a table with a bunch of offensive linemen. He did an Uggs commercial. But Tom Brady didn't really have a brand until about 4 or 5 years ago. After Tom won the Atlanta Super Bowl, Tom said, okay, now I'm going brand heavy. And he does. He did the documentary. But you can do that after like 5, 6 Super Bowls. Kobe Bryant's first 7, 8 years, even as a Laker, Kobe Bryant, he was a basketball guy. And then Kobe started doing a lot of international stuff, the China trip, selling shoes. That's good. You got rings. Baker's not even a good NFL quarterback yet. So Joe Thomas is like, yeah, it's kind of disturbing. It's not unpredictable. Rookie head coach, tougher defenses, 13 commercials, 9 magazine articles, getting into fights with talk show hosts that America loves, me, that's outrageous. And he did get married, and I think marriage is cool. But I would have said if I was him to all these commercials, because I'm already making a fortune, I was like, you know, a top pick. I've already got millions. I would have said, I got to be honest with you, I'm getting married, and it's a really important thing for my life, and my wife's amazing, and I have to invite 350 people. And the only routes I'm going to be running this year are going to be between the florist and the caterer. This offseason, and maybe the wedding photographer, because weddings are awesome, and I love this moment for Baker Mayfield. But a wedding is time-consuming and hard. Add 13 commercials, bunch of big articles. Freddie Kitchens now the head coach, not your valet. OBJ's kind of there. This is not unpredictable. This is why I don't believe in – I occasionally – I'm going to go speak at the Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State here in the next few months. I do a couple of these a year. And when I go and speak to all these young people, I'm like – before you're cocky on the internet, get good. Before you're snarky and cool on the internet and eliminate jobs, because I've literally watched the internet and said, okay, I'll never hire that guy, never hire that guy, never hire that woman. Why don't you get good before you get cocky? Why don't you get good before you have a brand? Why don't you worry about being a pro, a committed teammate, like Lamar Jackson, who has made an unbelievable leap. I mean, like jaw-dropping. Like what? I went this morning, joy is my witness, you were in the room, right, when I said, Lamar Jackson doesn't even physically look the same this year. There was a shot in our monitor as I'm doing prep this morning, and I said, how much weight, his traps, his arms, his shoulder, look at Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he's a grown man now.
He's like a man. That's what he did this offseason.
Right.
He spent it in the weight room 4 hours, you know, look at him. He don't even look the same. That's what you should do. I don't even know. Does Lamar have commercials? I've never seen one. He wins a lot more than Baker. Lamar's like the talk of the league this morning. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar are the talk of the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? This is what I've said about Cam for years. Cam's sometimes distracted by being Cam. If you don't think brands are hard to build, you know how many people I have in my life working on my brand? I've got an agent, a business manager, a social media person. It's time-consuming. And I'm off at noon. What if I was a quarterback and I was in the office for 16 hours? So this is, listen, for Joe Thomas, if Joe Thomas talks in Cleveland, listen. Joe Thomas is smart. He's the best football player in the state of Ohio for the last 2 decades. He's one of the top 5 tackles in the history, maybe the league. Remember when Baker, never forget this, remember when Baker took a shot at Duke Johnson? Remember the running back came out? All Duke Johnson says was, we got like 3 great running backs. I just want to get some touches. There was nothing wrong saying that. There's nothing wrong for Duke Johnson. And Baker's comment, it's very quick. Listen to this.
You know, we got to have guys that are goal-oriented on a single focus and mindset.
Oh, on a single focus? Oh. So not 13 commercials and multiple magazine articles and battling beloved American iconic sportcasters on Twitter. Okay. By the way, you know who was focused? Lamar Jackson. He's in your division. You'll be playing him very soon. A couple weeks. Good luck with that. By the way, Jared Goff's in LA, wins 80% of his starts. I've never seen him in a commercial.
Period.
I've never seen Jared Goff. He's in Los Angeles. We got 19 movie studios. I could throw a frisbee and hit 8 of them from where I'm standing. Never seen Jared Goff. He wants to win before he's a brand.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You ever notice guys are good at getting into relationships? We're terrible getting out of them. We got the flowers. We got the pickup line. We get, oh, we are so good getting into relationships. Then we break up and we text you. I always said this about countries. We're great at getting into wars. We sell that. We have to defend this. And we can never get out of wars, right? It's always like choppy. And listen, it's hard to have a great ending to every movie. That's why there's so few great movies. You've got an idea. You've got some story arcs. And how do you close this thing up? Let's be honest about the Eli Manning story. It's a bumpy ending. They're all bumpy. Unitas was bumpy. Namath was bumpy. Peyton Manning was a little bumpy. He got benched for Brock Osweiler. So Terry Bradshaw said yesterday, I don't like what the New York Giants are doing. I would pack my bags and leave if they treated me like that. And I disagree with Terry. Listen, the reality is money is respect. Do you know the NFL player that has made the most money in the history of the league? It's Eli Manning, not Peyton. It's Eli. That's respect. Okay. Hiring two different offensive guys to fix you, Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur. McAdoo said it's not working, benched you for an hour, and was fired. Eli's a nice guy. I see the conflicted New York fans. He is nostalgia. When the Giants mattered, he was the guy and he was beating your rival, the hated Belichick, Brady, Patriots, and there's nostalgia. It's Jeter-esque. But Jeter at the very end, even his last game at Yankee Stadium, I think got a hit. Eli's had three straight years of bad football, and he has become a walking on eggshells quarterback. They have one of those in Tennessee named Marcus Mariota. Nobody wants to talk about it publicly, but what do you do with Marcus Mariota? And they have one of those in New York the last 3 years. Everybody likes Eli Manning, but what do? He's not very good. Once you become a walking on eggshells employee, it's time to make a move. And movies generally don't end well, and relationships don't end well, and stuff doesn't end well. As guys, we're good at the pickup lines. We're bad at the breakup. And this is just a rocky one. This is as good as it gets. You've got this heir apparent. The kid even looks like Eli. He talks like Eli. He was coached by a guy who's friends with the Manning family, David Cutcliffe. It's perfect. I swear to God, they put helmets on. They look like brothers. They talk. They sound. The Southern thing. It all works. And Eli's all classy. And Eli's fine. He talked yesterday. This is Eli's okay with this. Listen.
Who knows? So, and it's, again, I'm not dying, and the season's not over. So there's a lot to be positive about, a lot to be grateful for, and so I just got to, kind of accept my new role and make the best of it.
He's not being disrespected. You want to know who is disrespected? Tom Brady was winning Super Bowls, winning his division, and winning MVPs, and had to go to the owner in New England to get Jimmy Garoppolo out of the room. And oh, by the way, Brady is taking a pay cut. Eli's made more money than Tom in his career. So Brady's taking pay cuts as the league MVP, the most dominant quarterback ever, has to go to the owner to say, can you get Garoppolo out of here? We could use other players, not one sitting watching me play. That's disrespectful. But Brady's wife, you think I should take less if my wife has a great job? Joy should take less. Because she's with somebody who has a great job. What? I mean, nothing against Giselle, but the idea that Tom's the 13th highest paid quarterback. Well, his wife. All right. His wife's awesome. I love my wife, but if she gets a great job, I'm not taking pay cuts, okay? Even if we had a salary cap, okay? So Eli's not disrespected. If you want to see who's disrespected, Brady takes pay cuts, wins Super Bowls, wins divisions, wins MVPs, had to go to the owner and say, can I use a better offensive lineman at left tackle instead of having a guy carrying a clipboard watching me and competing for my job? To me, I could argue that's disrespectful. Disrespectful is not, hey, we got a guy that even looks like you. We've paid you more than any player in league history. We bring in offensive guys, neither works, and you're 0-2 again this year. We're going to kind of move into the next guy. By the way, we'll keep paying you more than Tom Brady. That's disrespectful? Man, I got to tell you something. I'm praying I get treated like that. I mean, if my ratings do a tailspin for 4 years and they come to me and say, You know, we made you the highest paid radio host in American sports history. And we found this other guy, and he kind of looks like you and sounds like you and talks like you. We'll keep you on the payroll, but can we move him in? And I'm 72. I'll be like, Seacrest out. Thanks. I'm going to move to Utah Ski. I mean, there's no disrespect here, folks. They've been very kind to Eli. Eli's a wonderful person from an amazing family. His dad's great. His brother, I know Cooper. I know Archie. I know Eli. I don't know Peyton. I'd love to meet him. It's a great family. They've treated him with absolute grace and dignity. And by the way, Eli's handling it with grace and dignity, which is no surprise.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So I want to tell you something, Joy, I love about what's happening in sports. I think it's harder than ever to be disciplined. There's more money than ever for athletes. Social media, there's more fame. And yet I'm seeing a trend in sports that I think is really cool. Let's look at the NFL quarterbacks. Goff, Lamar Jackson, Wentz, Dak, Trubisky, Deshaun, Mahomes, Sam Darnold, Kyler Murray. Humble, quiet, really good kids, coachable. All the trappings. Quarterbacks now make $200 million contracts. All the social media. It's all quiet kid. Look at the NBA. Now, LeBron, you know, he's about ready. You know, he's got a couple years left. He can be political. But Giannis and Kawhi and Damian Lillard and Steph and Klay and Zion, they're nice kids. They're hardworking. They don't get caught up in nonsense. Look at baseball. Cody Bellinger, Yelich, Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, the kid in who's the kid? Anthony Rendon, Chris Bryant. All these guys are making more money. There's more fame. There's more social media. And we have a trend. They're all focused. They're all good kids. They're not in trouble. It's harder today. I have these conversations with my daughter. It's harder today to not look stupid occasionally, not end up in a bad Instagram photo or do something, because the trappings are everywhere. The money is everywhere. And all we have is these gracious, humble quarterbacks and these great baseball kids. And they got $300 million. What would you do at 25 with that kind of money? And then the NBA guys, Giannis and Lillard and Steph and Klay, and they give to charity and they're great teammates and they want to stay in their towns. And there's one exception, Baker Mayfield. He's rolling the dice. He's saying, I'm going to be the outspoken guy. I'm going to build the brand before I've won any games. And it's a roll of the dice, because we're either going to laugh at him when he bursts into flames, or he's going to be an absolute rock star, 1,000 times bigger than this. And it's very tough to be the exception, okay? Especially when you're not winning. Aaron Rodgers was way cooler. The condescending stuff, we defended it forever until he didn't win. And Bryce Harper and the flair and this. And now he's not winning. And LeBron, we dealt with some of his high maintenance stuff until last year when he couldn't make the playoffs. Baker's rolling the dice here. In an era, he's the one that's grabbed the bait, the social media sparring, the commercials, the brand before winning games. And it's a roll of the dice for Baker. He's the exception now of the rock stars in all these sports. It's either going to pay off big, because if you win and you're brash, you make hundreds of millions of dollars. You become, you know, in music, Kanye West, you become just pow. But if you lose, you're the butt of a lot of jokes. Baker's aggressive. He's rolling the dice. I think Sunday will go a long way, at least this year, in determining which side he ends up on.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Greg Cosell is now joining us. 40 years NFL films, which is unbelievable. He's as objective as anybody we bring on. And let's start with this. We got two games now with Dak. I think we would both acknowledge the weapons are better. Michael Gallup's better. Randall Cobb helps. A full season with Amari. Jason Witten's been a nice addition. Offensive line now this year healthy. Last year wasn't always. Two games with Dak, Greg. What have you seen? I won't even lead you. What have you seen on Dak?
I'm seeing a really comfortable quarterback throwing the ball exceptionally well. I'm seeing a really well-schemed offense that's presenting a lot of defined throws for the quarterback, which is the job of coaches. So I'm seeing a really good mix of him playing well and throwing the ball really well with an offense that is scheming to get the primary read available. And that is the ideal situation you can be in.
By the way, Kellen Moore, nobody's got film on him. Do you think some of it is everybody's kind of watching the Cowboys guessing at this point facing him?
You know what? I don't know if that's so much the case. Look, it's funny. People ask me that a lot, let's say, about Kyle Shanahan. You know, I don't think that the guys who do it really well are doing things that have never been done before. I think what guys who do it really well understand is defensive responsibilities, the rules of defense, and how to attack and break down those rules. That's what offenses, that's what the pass game, particularly against zone, is about. You understand the rules of the defense, your route concepts, attack and break down those rules, and that's really what the premise is.
Yeah. Let's move to the Packers. They face two very good defenses. Mike Zimmer's a great defensive coach, and the Vikings have all sorts of personnel, and the Bears are obviously very good. Khalil Mack's hard to block, and they're 2-0, and it's been inconsistent. But do you see things in those inconsistent Packer offenses that concern you or you really like?
Well, I think with a new offense, it always takes a little time. And no matter how good your quarterback is, it takes time because it's all new. And the nuance and detail always takes time in any business. So, you know, I thought that what they did last week with relying on the run game once they got ahead was good. I think Aaron Jones is a very good zone runner. I think he can be a bell cow kind of back. I don't think they'll feature their offense through him, but I think he can be the kind of back that carries 15-plus times and be effective. I think Rodgers will work through what this offense is. It's much more defined in some ways. That's the way Matt LaFleur would like it to be run. That may go against Aaron's DNA, but I think that if you're winning, you accept it. And I think that it's kind of critical for them to get ahead in games because that's how Mike Pettine's defense will work most effectively. Pettine's defense isn't as effective when teams can line up in base personnel packages and calm down all the movement out of the sub packages.
I want to shift to San Francisco. We made a prediction. I don't think it was that daring or courageous. We thought they would double their wins. We think they've added some nice pieces on the perimeter. They've got two good tackles. They didn't until Staley got hurt. And I do think Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback. Great? I don't know. I watched them last weekend. They're all sorts of clever. They had 8 different guys catch balls. They had
Yep.
6 different guys run it. I'm just telling you from my eyes tell me, and the receivers are often very open. San Francisco, to me, was as much fun as any offense I watched last weekend. What did your eyes tell you? What did the film say?
Well, that's what the film shows, because I don't think there's a better coach in the NFL, and this goes back a number of years, Colin, than Kyle Shanahan when it comes to the run-pass fusion element of the play-action pass game. Kyle may understand defensive responsibilities better than any offensive coach in the league, and he understands how the play-action pass game, whether it's conventional play-action with the quarterback under center, whether it's shotgun play-action, whether it's play-action boot, he understands the responsibility of defenders and how they will respond to what he does, and then he exploits that. I don't believe there's anybody better in the league understanding that and exploiting it. And now with the misdirection elements and the movement elements that have become part of the NFL game, I thought last week was in some ways a clinic. He knows how to break down the rules of defense.
Yeah, I really like watching them play. I'm happy for people in San Francisco because they've had to deal with some Raiders stuff and
Yep.
they had to deal with some Niners stuff, and this is going to be a wildly entertaining team with a lot of interesting perimeter players right now. One of the teams they'll play twice a year is the Rams. I said last year, Cooper Kupp's injury, they didn't feel the same. Brandon Cooks is expensive, but I don't feel I get big volume out of him. Todd Gurley looks like a different player and not in a good way, and the offensive line is aging. I don't think the Rams look quite as dynamic. Am I hyperventilating here a little?
No, but what I think this is from a football perspective is I think that Sean McVay, who's a young coach, okay? Look, we anoint people in our society now with social media. He was anointed a genius. I think he's working through teams figuring out some of what he does, and now he has to respond to it. I thought last week he did a pretty good job. What teams have been doing to take away the run game is they'll put 6 across on the the line of scrimmage that really prevents you from running your staple outside zone run game. So now you have to adjust. And I thought last week he made a few nice adjustments. He ran what we call the pin-pull concept, where you pull offensive linemen and you actually have someone from the outside come and block down on the edge players. And he did that a number of times very effectively. And that's one way to attack and defeat that sort of six across front, which who'd they play last week? The Saints played last week. The Patriots played in the Super Bowl. So now he's going through the process of sort of figuring out what teams are doing to him and how to tactically respond. That's all part of the growth of a young coach.
Good stuff by Greg Cosell, 40 years NFL Films. Okay, let's talk about a couple teams who have backups now. Bridgewater and Breeze. I look at the schedule. I look at the weapons. I look at the O-line. I look at Sean Payton, and I think, they can go 3-3 with the next six with Teddy Bridgewater. Heck, they may play some Taysom Hill and, you know, certain sets. I don't think Bridgewater, I don't feel like the sky is falling for New Orleans, or does the film tell you he's very, very limited?
Well, it's limited on Bridgewater. He hasn't played in meaningful regular season games in such a long time. So when I watched him this past week, I saw some things I would expect. He was a little cautious. He was a little hesitant. He wasn't overly comfortable in the pocket. He at times was a little overreactive when he thought there would be pressure. These are things that I imagine will get better the more he plays. I think Sean, in making the announcement this week that he'll play both quarterbacks, he knows that Drew will come back. He's going to try to massage these games in the best way he can.
Yeah.
Because all he's trying to do now is he's not trying now to get ready for a playoff run. He's just trying to win each and every Sunday right now with what he can put on the field at quarterback. So this might be a week where you see he'll play quite a bit. Maybe the following week you don't see him play. I think he's simply going to try to massage each victory and hope it's a victory. But I would expect Bridgewater to be better now that he's had game experience.
So Drew Brees is out, but they've still got, you know, they've still got Kamara and Michael Thomas. Whereas the Steelers don't have Ben. They don't have Le'Veon Bell from a couple years ago. They don't have AB. They don't now have Ben. Ryan Shazier, I think, hurt their defense. Could I just make the argument? They have lost four great players in the last couple of years, injuries, leaving contracts. They just don't have next level players, and this is going to be rough without Big Ben.
Well, it's funny you say that, because with Ben over the last number of years, they were an offense that relied very much on what we call isolation individual routes. In other words, their receivers would run routes against coverage, and they'd expect them essentially to win, or win enough. And they could do that with the players they had, Colin. And Roethlisberger, as a veteran, had an advanced understanding of what's open in the NFL, because open in the NFL very often is not a lot of room, but that's open. Rudolph is certainly not at the point where he understands what open is in the NFL. So I'm curious to see if they start to design more route concepts and combinations to try to define things for him, rather than have him try to make great throws versus man coverage to receivers who, quite frankly, aren't as good as the receivers they've had in the past.
Yeah, interesting game. They Pittsburgh now, I think they go west this week.
Yep.
Yeah,
they play the 49ers in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's a really fun game. Tomlin hasn't had a ton of success out west. In fact, they lost to the Raiders, I think, last year. Okay, we were talking about this yesterday. Tom Brady's had two great 10-year careers. that if you took his first 10 and his last 10, outside of Joe Montana, you could argue each separately, you know, 2-3 Super Bowls, multiple MVPs,
sure.
They were both, outside of Montana, arguably the greatest quarterback career of all time. Not even Michael Jordan's 2-3-year runs in between baseball, you could argue that he was the best basketball player. Brady, you can make some arguments. When you look at Brady now, is he absolutely better than he was in the first 10, if you remember that? Is he a different quarterback? Is it mostly he's the same guy, just smarter?
You know, I don't think the skill set has dramatically changed. I still think he throws the ball well. You know, it's always hard to say. Maybe he doesn't throw it quite as well as he did 8 or 9 or 10 years ago. But I don't think his overall skill set has dramatically changed. So, what's amazing is the ability to play at this level at his age. But I guess then, Colin, that means since I've been here 40 years, if I had four great 10-year careers?
That's right, Greg.
Extrapolating, you know?
Yeah, I was watching the Miami game and the Pittsburgh game, and I'm just watching them, and I said, Norman Lear just signed a 3-year contract on Broadway. He's 97. If you didn't know Brady's age,
right,
you just go, 30-year-old guy looks good. I don't see a ton of drop-off.
They do such a good job. You know, again, and this is what coaches should do. You know, this is not a negative. They do such a good job with their concepts in defining the throws. I mean, how often do you think about watching Brady? How often does he throw the ball on time within the rhythm of the play call?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, now that's a function of many things, including Tom Brady, but how often do you see that? You rarely see him out of rhythm in a game. Rarely. It happens on occasion. We know that, but not very often.
Yeah. Finally, your big play includes Lamar Jackson, who I think is fascinating. We're watching a young player really pop. Now, it's been against, not that redeemable opposition, but whatever. It's NFL football. Give me your big play with Lamar Jackson to a tight end, Mark Andrews.
It is to a tight end, Mark Andrews. And before we start, let me just say that Jackson, I think, looked very comfortable. I think he's staying in the pocket. He's not looking to run. He's not dropping his eyes. I think he's playing quarterback the right way. They do such a good job schematically, too. So let's now start the play. This was the touchdown to Mark Andrews in the first quarter. And you see he's wide open. I didn't pick this play to say, hey, he's wide open. It's how he got open. And I think what's critical here is the way they bring Marquise Brown from one side of the formation to the boundary side on what we call orbit motion. Then they take Willie Snead, the wide out, and he's going to run a post route. Okay, and then what they're going to do as well, same side, is Mark Andrews will run a wheel route. This is just a post-wheel combination. It's in everybody's playbook. The defense, the Cards, they're in cover three, which is actually a really good defense for this to work. So they're in cover three. Now, watch what happens here as we start this. DJ Swearinger, in this zone concept, is responsible for running with Mark Andrews on the wheel route. But what do they do with Brown coming on that orbit motion? They grab the eyes of Swearinger. So the combination of that and Snead running vertically, removing the corner, gets Andrews wide open on the wheel. And remember, that's technically Swearinger's responsibility. But that orbit motion in the backfield grabbed Swearinger's eyes, distorted his coverage responsibilities, and led to this touchdown. Now, a lot of teams do this. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. This play worked, but that's what you're trying to do here. You're trying to distort the coverage responsibilities of the underneath defender who's responsible for the wheel route.
Yeah, by the way, it's a good pump fake by Lamar, because I thought he was going there. It wasn't.
No,
sometimes...
That's part of it.
Yeah.
You want to make sure the quarterback does that.
Yeah, a lot of guys bad pump fakes. That was a real good pump fake. 40 years NFL Films, Greg Cosell. Great talking to you today, Greg, as always.
Appreciate it, Colin. Thanks.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy and I have a bet we haven't figured out. She thinks the Rams will beat Cleveland comfortably. I think this weekend, Sunday Night Football, I think the Cleveland's the biggest game in 20 years, and I do think they'll clean it up. Everybody thinks it's a prove-it game, Cleveland. I do not. I think it's a prove-it game, Rams. Our expectations for the Rams are Sean McVay's a genius, Les Snead's as good as any executive, Todd Gurley got paid, Brandon Cooks got paid, Aaron Donald got paid, Jared Goff got... Everybody got paid. This is a veteran team in Los Angeles. This is an old offensive line. These are Pro Bowl level players. Here's Cleveland's ages. Baker's 25, Miles Garrett's 23, Nick Chubb's 23, Denzel Ward's 22. OBJ's the old guy. He's 26 and a rookie head coach. The expectations for the Rams are Super Bowl, and they've looked awful in the first two games for most of it. Remember, Breeze got hurt. They were facing Teddy Bridgewater for 3 of the 3.5 hours. So I don't think it's a prove-it game for Cleveland. No, they're in the underdog. If Cleveland loses 23-22 and plays pretty well, aren't we saying Monday, watch out for Cleveland? That's our expectation. They're the underdog in Vegas at home on Sunday Night Football. The expectation for the Rams, if Monday the Rams lose to Cleveland, we're going to be saying they're not the same football team. Because everybody backed up the Brinks truck on the Rams. Nobody's calling Freddie Kitchen brilliant. Jared Goff just got paid. Baker hasn't made the big money. Probably made more in commercials than he has salary at this point. So I don't think it's a prove-it game for Cleveland. If Cleveland lost close, the narrative in America on Monday is, okay, Brown's got it figured out. Watch out. If the Rams lose, it is, we got a problem. Like, they're paying everybody. The offensive line's old. The secondary's hit and miss. What do you do with Aqib Talib at the end of the year? Do you pay him big? So I think this is, I've watched Goff, and on the road, he's not the same quarterback. On the road, offensively, they're not the same team. So we'll see. In fact, let me look at the numbers right here. Here's Jared Goff on the road. Oh, there you go. All right, touchdown interception, 11 touchdowns, 10 picks. Quarterback rating loses 30%. To me, the prove it is Jared Goff, big contract, going to Cleveland with a good pass rush and win.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Ready to make some sweet cash? Colin's going to give you his three sure bets for the college football weekend. It's time for the Fox Bet Marquee 3. Auburn at Texas A&M.
Texas A&M at home's a 3.5-point favorite. I'm going to roll with the Aggies and take them. Auburn has not played well. Take that. Even the Oregon game they won, they were outplayed for most of it. They're not good against SEC teams. Four of the last six against the SEC, they've lost, including four consecutive road games against ranked opponents. And the quarterback, Bo Nix, is really, really struggling. 52% completion rate. Texas A&M, meanwhile, if you take out their games against Clemson and Alabama, they're 11-2 in their last 13. They're struggling against the teams that beat everybody. And they've won seven straight at home. I'm going to take Texas A&M to win this game 36-27. I like the direction of the program. I like their vibe, and they're really good at home.
Washington at BYU.
Like it, I love it. Play of the weekend. Washington minus 6.5, so they have to win by a touchdown. I'll take the Huskies. They have led the Pac-12 in scoring defense, and they've led the Pac-12 in total defense the last several years. In fact, four. What does that tell you? They are brilliantly coached. Jacob Eason has completed almost 70% of his throws. They've upgraded from last year at quarterback. And here's the key to this game. BYU has played back-to-back, highly emotional overtime games. I think they come back down to earth. They're playing around with uniforms this week at BYU to make the game special. Washington is healthier, and they cover the spread. Huskies win 30-20.
Notre Dame at Georgia.
Initially, I thought I kind of like Notre Dame getting a couple of touchdowns. Once you go deep diving on this game, it becomes very clear this is going to be problematic for Notre Dame. I'm going to take Georgia at home minus 14.5 points. Notre Dame has lost 10 straight games to top five teams. Georgia is a monster at home. 15 straight home wins, fourth longest streak in the country. And they're averaging 43 points in those games under Kirby Smart. And again, against opponents not named Alabama or LSU, they're 27-2 in all these games. And they're averaging this year, we knew they'd be good defensively with Kirby Smart. They're averaging 8.7 yards a play. That is incredible. Notre Dame's run defense is their weakness. Georgia's run offense is their strength. I'm going to take Georgia. It is a big number, 14.5, but I'm going to take them to win by 16, 36-20. So that is my Marquee 3 odds provided by Fox Bet. I'm going to take Texas A&M to beat Auburn in cover. I'm going to take Washington to beat BYU in cover. And I'm going to take Georgia. There you go. I got the Aggies, I got the Huskies, and I got Georgia. Initially, I like Notre Dame on that. And then Joel Klatt said something. I thought, I'm going to do a little inspecting. Last night with my torn calf, I just sat there eating corn nuts and massaging my calf and reading about college football betting lines.